Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
You're just in time for a segment as Timothy P. Brown of Football Archaeology joins us to talk about the 1947 Sugar Bowl and a very famous football player named Charlie Trippi and what he did in that game. It's all here coming up with Tim in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another day where we get to visit with our friend Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, good to be here with you and looking forward to going on a little trippy with you.
A little trippy
indeed. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's really... digging deep for that segue into our topic tonight. So of course, Tim is talking about a recent tidbit that he wrote on the famous football legend, Charlie Trippi, and a college football game that he played. And we know him as a great college player and a great professional player. But, Tim loves to focus in on, especially on those college games. And you got some interesting items on Mr. Trippi that you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, so this one, I kind of, this particular tidbit, I was hoping to draw, kind of two issues. One is how much of a stud Trippi was, right? And he was just a tremendous player. But the other thing was just kind of the messiness of determining the national championship back in the day, And if anybody thought it was bad the past 30, 40 years, back in 1946, when he was getting out of college, it was worse. So, he as a senior, his senior season was 1946. He's playing for, University of Georgia. And they ended up the year ranked number three. And so ended the regular season ranked number three. Number one and two were Army and Navy, who had tied 0-0. Last game of the season. And they weren't going to win the national championship in all likelihood, meaning Georgia wasn't. And, back then the Big Ten, for the 1947 season, the Big Ten still, maybe they had just started, but anyway, Notre Dame didn't go to bowl games and, we were still in an era where entire conferences didn't go to bowl games. So it's, who's going to finish the season national champs? It's kind of a mess, but so they end up with, Georgia ends up being invited to the Sugar Bowl. And they play their number three, they play number nine, North Carolina. And so Trippi, who had finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting to Glenn Davis, of Army. And Trippi was this, quintuple and maybe even a septuple or whatever, threat. Because he was a passer, he was a runner, he punted, he returned kicks. And, in the 47 season, he led the nation, or at least tied for the, in the nation for most interceptions, so he's just this all around player who's just tremendous. So he ends up, in the Sugar Bowl, North Carolina takes a 7-0 lead at half. And then Georgia ties it up, early in the third quarter. UNC gets a field goal. So now they're down, Georgia's down 10-7, and they're thinking we're at least the third team in the nation. So then I think it was the next series, Trippy faked a run and then executed one of those old style jump passes. He jumps up right behind the line of scrimmage, hits a guy who's running a crossing pattern, and the guy, boom, to the races, gets a touchdown, and then they score another touchdown and win the game. And, one of the cool things about that particular tidbit is just that I had, I got these old college composite schedule, booklets. And so one of them had that play, and, the coach described the play. It's got the play diagram. And, so it's just a neat illustration of that jump pass play. But so they end up winning, and, here it is right after World War II. So the AFC and the NFL are battling for, contracts. So this guy signs a 4-year, $100,000 contract, which was the biggest contract for a pro football player to that point, So, I mean, just the bargaining power he had, and yet, it's just nothing compared to today. 4-year, $100,000 contract. And then he goes on, in the NFL, he's named the all 1940s team. And when he retired in 57, he was the NFL's all-time yardage leader, because he was this multi-threat guy. And then he ends up, he died in 2021. He was the second former NFL player to live to be 100 years old. So the guy had a pretty good life.
Yeah. Wow.
I can't complain about that one.
No. And what an interesting, time when his senior season, World War II is just over, and that 46 season is sort of, I always look at it, it's almost like a line of debarkation of, the single wing is sort of ending its run, and they're going into, some T formations, some more modern formations that we're familiar with. And, single platoon football is, right at its edge of doing. So it's a lot of interesting things that yeah. era, and all the different things that if you're a football fan, you go to the stadium, you're going to see, everything coming out of the woodwork in those years. And like you said, the AAFC and the NFL are doing battle, and Paul Brown is, getting his glory on and at the pro level, and just a cool era of football. Yeah. Charlie Trippy is definitely a part of that.
Well, and Trippy, like a lot of the guys, he was, I think he left college in, I think he was 44 and 45. I could be off on that, but, like a lot of these guys, they were getting drafted, and so he was out of the game. Now he played service football, like a lot of these guys did. But, the other thing about 46 was just, I mean, if there was an era with more talent, now, this is pre-integration, so it's all white guys, right? But, you had rosters filled with these returning vets, so guys who had been in the service for 2, 3, and even 4 years coming back to college, and, all these guys with playing experience, all these guys who'd started, are now all of a sudden on one roster. And it's just, and even though teams were starting to run, two platoon, most still ran one platoon. So there was just some tremendous talent in the 1946 season.
Yeah. And they got that extra training. If they played military ball, it's like an extra couple of years of, college football to get trained for the professional level, which wasn't that developed yet. The college game was a much better game at that point in time too. So just, just all the stars aligned for football with all the world events and everything that was going on. And man, a special time. I definitely a golden era of football, like they say, and it's very enjoyable to read about it and to see these heroes like Charlie Trippi and others that played the game so well during that era.
Yeah, and I mean, you just think about the changes in the game that he saw in his lifetime. Just incredible.
Yeah, you'd have to be picking up a new copy of that rules book and studying it real hard every time the new season comes along, because that's definitely was a time of change. Now, speaking of changes, now you have in your tidbits, you're covering changes from all eras of football, like from the 1800s to the 20th century and beyond, even into today's game, in your tidbits. And they're really interesting, and they're not focused on one thing. You take us on a journey every single evening into something new that maybe we really never really thought about. So how can people enjoy your tidbits on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's real simple. Just go to footballarchaeology.com. You can subscribe. And then, if you subscribe, you get an email with that story every night at 7 o'clock Eastern. If you don't have to read them right away. They're just, you can let them sit in your inbox, read them on the weekend. And then if you don't want to subscribe, you can follow me on Twitter, on Threads, or on the Substack app.
All right.
Or just go to, the site whenever you feel like it. So.
Excellent. Well, Tim Brown is his name. Footballarchaeology.com is his website. And you got all the other information there too. It's in the show notes of the podcast as well. Tim, thank you for joining us here. And we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Yep. And what a long, strange trip it's been. sorry for my dad jokes.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, it's found right here on the Sports History Network.